Ezekiel chapter 46, verses 19 through 24. This is the word of the Lord. Then he brought me through the entrance, which was at the side of the gate, to the north row of the holy chambers for the priests. And behold, a place was there at the extreme western end of them. And he said to me, "This is the place where the priests shall boil the guilt offering and the sin offering, and where they shall bake the grain offering, in order not to bring them out into the outer court, and so transmit holiness to the people." Then he brought me out to the outer court, and led me around to the four corners of the court. And behold, in each corner of the court there was another court. And the four corners of the court were small courts, 40 cubits long and 30 broad. And the four were of the same size. On the inside, around each of the four courts, was a row of masonry, with hearths made at the bottom of the rows all around. Then he said to me, "These are the kitchens where those who minister at the temple shall boil the sacrifices of the people." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we ask that you would give us ears to hear what you would say to us now. We ask that you would give us a heart to receive your Son as he offers himself to us in these words. We pray in his name. Amen. What makes a house a house? It is the place where one lives, and it is likely a place with a roof and four walls, and for most of human history, a place without a bathroom, with no toilet or shower. But one thing is common to every house in every age, and that is a kitchen. Whether it be its own separate room, large or small, or whether it simply be the hearth of a fireplace, a house is not a house without a kitchen. Without a place where food is prepared and served. A house has many purposes. It is a place of shelter. It is a place of rest. It provides us a place to lay our head. And if it is a happy home, a place to rest in peace and to sleep without fear. But a house is not only a place of shelter. It is a place of hospitality. And not only for strangers, but even for those who live within it. For the center of a house is its table. And with the kitchen, that table orders the day, for there its inhabitants gather at the beginning of the day, at its middle, and at its end. It is there that hunger is satisfied, and if it is a happy home, it is there that fellowship is enjoyed. Now, the temple of the Lord, what sort of place is it? We might call it a place of worship, and that is very true. But why is it a place of worship? What makes it a place of worship? It is a place of worship because the Lord is there. And why is he there? He is there because he has made it his dwelling place. And that is why in Scripture, the temple of the Lord is often called the house of the Lord. As in Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. The temple of the Lord is the house of the Lord. It is the place of his dwelling. It is the place of his rest. When the people of God are gathered to the temple of the Lord, they are being invited into his house. In Ezekiel chapter 40, the prophet Ezekiel was carried by the Spirit to a very high mountain. And there he saw a temple of glory and a man whose appearance was like bronze led him through its gate. And Ezekiel was shown the whole of that temple, the whole of that house. And now at the end of Ezekiel chapter 46, we reach the end of Ezekiel's vision within the walls of the temple. At the beginning of the next chapter, at the beginning of Ezekiel chapter 47, he will be led back through the gate. But before leaving the temple, before passing through that gate, he is shown, last of all, the kitchens of the temple. And so there is no doubt that this temple, it is a house, a place not only of worship, a place not only of protection and peace and rest, but a place of hospitality, a place for feasting. As in Psalm 36, verses 7 and 8, how precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. Before Ezekiel is led out of this temple of glory, we are given assurance that it is a house of fellowship. We do not only enter that place to glorify the Lord. We enter it also to enjoy Him. The temple is a place of reverence, but it is also a place of joy. It is a place of solemnity and quiet, but it is also a place of laughter. As in Psalm 126, verses 1 and 2. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. As we have said many times, Ezekiel's vision of this temple, it was a vision of the church. And if this is what is true of the temple of the Lord, if this is what is true of his house, then it must be true of the church. For the church is the temple of the Lord. The church is his house. And here we find it is a place with kitchens. It is a place of feasting. It is a place of fellowship. It is a place of laughter. It is a place of joy. This is what it ought to be. But this house is not always the place it ought to be. Consider those days long ago, long before Ezekiel. Those days when Eli was the high priest, ministering at the tabernacle. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, we are told that Eli had two sons, and we are told that they were worthless men. We discover that during their service at the tabernacle, during their service at the house of the Lord, as the people came to offer their sacrifices, as the meat of that sacrifice was boiling, which the people were then to eat before the Lord, the sons of Eli would come and thrust their forks into the kettle and take for themselves all that the fork brought up. And not only this, but they would even take the fat which belonged to the Lord alone. And later in 1 Samuel chapter 4, we are told that Eli was very heavy, suggesting that while the people suffered want at the hands of his sons, he himself had more than he needed. We may say that he and his sons were worthless shepherds. They were false shepherds, for they fed themselves instead of the sheep. They even fed themselves upon the sheep. this house that was meant to be a place of refuge. It became a place of oppression. What was meant to be a house of feasting and joy became a place of misery and fear. But it was not the Lord's will that his house should become a place of personal gain. So it was that he put Eli and his sons to death, that they might no longer oppress his people. And should we expect something different for ourselves? If we turn the house of the Lord into a place of personal gain, should we expect something different for ourselves if we oppress those within its walls? Shall we be commended? Shall we not be condemned? In Ezekiel chapter 46, the kitchens of the temple, they tell us something about the kind of place that the church is and is to be. A place of hospitality, a place of generosity, a place of feasting, place of joy. But what else do these kitchens of the temple tell us? They tell us that the church is a place of holiness. Notice that there is a distinction between the kitchens that Ezekiel saw. There were kitchens in the inner court, and there were kitchens in the outer court. The kitchens of the inner court were for the preparation of that food which only the priests were permitted to eat, the food that was most holy. The kitchens of the outer court were for the preparation of that food which all the people were to enjoy. And when this distinction is not upheld, the holiness of God's house is profaned. It was not only in their taking what belonged to the Lord that Eli and his sons profaned the holiness of God's house. It was also profaned in their taking what the Lord had given to the rest of his people. We would likely agree that irreverence in worship is a profaning of the Lord's house. But would we also agree that unkindness is a profaning of the same? In both, we take the name of the Lord in vain, for in both we misrepresent him. It is not only when we are irreverent in worship, it is even when we are unkind to those whom he has invited here that we profane the holiness of this place. For this house of the Lord, it is not only a place of reverent worship. This house of the Lord, it is a place of lavish hospitality. And so we are to be known not only for our reverence in worship, We are also to be known for the great generosity of our hospitality. This distinction in Ezekiel chapter 46 between kitchens that are holy and kitchens that are common, between food that is holy and food that is common, that is not something that was only true under the Old Covenant. It is a distinction that remains true even under the New Covenant. It is a distinction that we find in the church. It is the distinction between the Lord's Supper and a fellowship meal. In a fellowship meal, all who have come to God's house, they are all invited to feast together. Believer, unbeliever alike, they are invited to enjoy the hospitality of God's house and the fellowship of his people. But there is a food that not all are permitted to eat. The supper of the Lord, served at the table of the Lord. It is for the believer alone. And we do profane the holiness of God's house when we permit at that table those whom the Lord does not permit. It belongs to those alone who are able to receive it in faith. And so we ought to be zealous to uphold the holiness of this house and the holiness of this table. We are to guard it and to keep from it those who are not yet permitted to enjoy it. But we ought be no less zealous to invite those very same ones who are kept from this table. We are to be no less zealous to invite them to those meals they may enjoy. We are to be zealous for both. For the reverence of this house and for its hospitality, that those who enter the house of the Lord may know that it is a place of hospitality. For who would desire to come to this table if they never see in those who eat from this table generosity and kindness and joy? They desire the Lord's food. But they desire his presence. If we would persuade others to know the hospitality of the Lord at his table, we must show them that hospitality at other tables. And as they learn the joy of the church, they may come to know the joy of the Lord. This should be our desire for all who are found here. For there is no greater privilege in this world than to be invited to this table. We are told in Ezekiel chapter 46 that the food of the inner court was not to be carried out of the inner court. And why? Lest holiness be transmitted to the people. But see what privilege we are given in the church to touch, to eat what is most holy. But the food of the Lord's table, it is the food of the most holy place of heaven. But the food of this table is the Lord himself, his body and his blood. In receiving the food and drink of this table, we receive him. And touching it, we touch him. And his holiness, it becomes ours. We are not destroyed by it. Rather, we are transformed by it. We are transformed to his glorious image. But what sort of people ought we then to be? There is something else that the kitchens of the temple make known to us. They tell us not only that the house of the Lord is a place of holiness and hospitality, the kitchens of the temple tell us that the house of the Lord is a place of service. Why is it that the kitchens are the last place that Ezekiel is shown? Is it not because they are considered a place for the least in a house? For unlike the other rooms of a house, what is a kitchen but a place of service? It is in the kitchen that food is prepared for others and then served to others. But notice, in the temple of the Lord, notice the ones who labor in the kitchen. Notice the ones who prepare the food there and serve it. In both the inner court and in the outer court, it is those who minister at the temple who serve in the kitchens of the temple. It is those in positions of authority that we find serving in the kitchen. And what else should we expect in the house of the Lord, where the first is last and the greatest is least, and the one who rules all, the servant of all? There is a saying said of some wives, and never meant kindly, that she wears the pants in her house. And it is possible for a wife to be controlling or overbearing. But consider the assumption of that statement, that it should be the husband who wears the pants in his house. But that is the way of the rulers of this world, who lord their authority over others. That is not the way of the Lord. That is not the way of his house. For when we look upon the husband of this house, what do we find? What do we see? We do not see a man wearing the pants, delighting in his authority. We see a man who laid aside his outer garments and wrapped himself in a towel and washed the feet of his servants. The house of the Lord, it is a house of service. In this house, the one who is first must make himself last. The one who is the greatest must make himself the least. And the one who rules over all must make himself the servant of all. Would you be great in your house? Would you be great in this house? Then learn to serve in the kitchen. Amen.